thing. Most of it I scribbled down while they were singing. Just want to try to share with you some things out of these verses. I planned on sharing at least the first and second verse, and just got to noticing some of those other verses and how beautiful they are, and just pouring out to you what I saw as I began looking at some of these. And I don't know what else the Lord will have us to do with it. There may be a sermon here for some other time. Psalm 118, the word of the Lord says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever." These are psalms that they would give, and as the director of the worship service would say something, then others would repeat it. I kind of like that kind of business. Baptist folks are not really into that most places, but I kind of like it. Kind of like what Tommy Waits says when we go to prison. He has all the prisoners repeat after him. He says, "Lord, speak to me tonight." They all say, "Lord, speak to me tonight." I like that business. That's what we ought to be asking for, is the Lord to speak to us. So he said, "Now let Israel say." In other words, I've said it, now let Israel say. In other words, all the church going to repeat after me is what he's saying. "That His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever." And they would repeat it again. "Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever." And they'd repeat it again. "I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place." How about that? A large place. There's a sermon there too, which I got time to get to it as well. A large place. "And that the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taking my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Amen. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of the thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but He hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go in unto them. I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which righteousness shall enter. I will praise Thee, for Thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused has become the head of the corner." That's a very prophetic verse. That's mentioned by both our Lord Jesus Christ as well as the Apostle Peter, as he writes in his epistles in 1 and 2 Peter. "This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech Thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise Thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt Thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." He's come right back to where he started in verse 1. Notice that. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us. Those first and last verses match identically. He starts out with the same theme as what he finishes up with. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever." Now, if you want to make some notes tonight, maybe in the margins of your Bible, about this chapter, and dig through some of these things I want to share with you, because I'm not going to do too much running commentary on it. But I want to share with you some things from this chapter tonight concerning why we give thanks. And he gives us a commandment in the first verse and in the last verse. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for it because His mercy endureth forever." In verses 2 through 4, we're told to give thanks because
of His enduring mercy. He said, now let Israel say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let him that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. Hey, if God's mercy had a time limit on it, you'd only be saved for so long. But I'm so glad His mercy endureth forever. You know why heaven can become our eternal home? Because He has enduring mercy. You know why that He put our sins in the sea of forgetfulness, never to bring them up again? Because He has enduring mercy. You know the reason why we don't have to come back year after year after year and offer a new sacrifice and a new lamb and once again approach that altar of grace and have mercy? Because His mercy endureth forever. I mean, if God wasn't long-suffering and merciful towards us, we'd be in some serious trouble, friend. But thank God that His mercy endureth forever. Even though that we do have past issues and even present challenges, I'm glad God has a powerful mercy. And it's eternal. It is enduring. It's everlasting. That mercy of the Lord. You know what lets me know that I can be saved today and that I don't have to worry about tomorrow? You know what gives me hope for old age as well as for eternity? His mercy endureth forever. You know what can tell me, friend, what gives me the courage to tell the devil and the world and all of those that listen that I'm going to live for God and I intend to see this thing through to the end? Because His mercy endureth forever. I won't be able to live for God by myself anymore tomorrow than what I was yesterday or what I was today. But thank God for His mercy that endured forever. And that mercy that had pity on me when He saved me and forgave me my sins. And that mercy He extends to me as I fail Him today is the same mercy that will be extended one of these days in judgment based on the merit of my faith in the darling Lamb of God that saved me and washed away my sins. And His mercy endured forever. Amen. And so I'm giving thanks tonight because of enduring mercy. In verse 2 through 4, that I'm giving thanks tonight because of enlarging prayer. Amen. In verse number 5, it says, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. How about that? He said, I went to praying, and every time I go to praying, I find the place I'm in when I get done is larger than the place I was in when I began. It's an enlarging prayer. An enlarging gift, this thing of prayer. What are you saying by a large place? In other words, I'm not in a tight spot anymore. He's given me options. I want to say, friend, the reason why I have any options in life is because of what God has done when He heard of my prayer. Amen. The reason why that I have options in time is because of what God's done and forgiving me and hearing me whenever I pray. I mean, friend, the reason why that I have options, listen, folks, it's lost. They don't have options. They live for the devil and the world and the flesh, and they all do. But whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Because I know He heard my prayer. Now I'm free to serve Him. Free from the chains of yesterday. Free from the guilt of the past. Free from sinful tendencies that once held me captive. Amen. And now I have hope for tomorrow. And now I have help for today. I've been given an enlarged prayer life. He's enlarged my life. I want to tell you, I'm living mighty big tonight. You might not realize, and the world may not recognize it, but I'm living mighty big tonight because of what the Lord can do in prayer. You want to know how big it is? Prayer's as big as God is. Amen. Prayer's as strong as God is strong. Prayer can reach as far as God can reach. Anything God can do, prayer can do. Because preaching moves people and singing moves people. But prayer moves God. Amen. And so, friend, we have this thing of an enlarging gift. It is this blessing and privilege of prayer. So we ought to give thanks. consists in the very fact that, hey, if I was to pick up the telephone, I know he's going out of office and there's another coming in office. But if I was to pick up the telephone tonight and try to call President Bush or President-elect Barack Hussein Obama, both of them would reject my phone call. They're not interested in me. By the way, you may think they are, but they ain't interested in you either. Amen. They don't know who you are. Matter of fact, just the fact that you called and had to speak to them on a moment's notice would probably get you classified as a kook and get the CIA and the FBI on your doorstep the next morning. Amen. I mean, they don't have time for you. They're not interested in you. But I'm telling you, friend, that doesn't worry me none. I can go over their head. Amen. To the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's interested in me. He cares about me. Woo! He'll tune in when I pray. I have the blessing of the gift of an enlarged and prayer life because I can reach heaven. I'm living big tonight. I'm living big. Amen. Enduring mercy. Why give thanks for enduring mercy? In verse 2 through 4, enlarging prayer. In verse number 5, then I'll give thanks for an enabling Savior. In verses 6 through 12. Now, that's just what the Lord gave me a while ago, and I hadn't got an awful lot. But I thought it was interesting. These things I began to notice in this chapter. An enabling Savior. In verses 6 through 12, notice what he keeps talking about. He begins with verse 6 saying, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Well, what a blessing that is. Amen. I mean, the Lord is on my side. One fellow said, well, I tell you, I'm glad to have this one with me, and I'm glad to have that one with me. I've heard folks use the phrase, and I don't mind it, but I've heard folks use the phrase about some people, they're the kind of folks you'd want to go to war with. I mean, you'd want, if you was in a foxhole, you'd want them on your side. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad the Lord is on my side. I'm glad to be on the Lord's side. I'm glad to have the captain of my salvation fighting for me and for my cause. Amen. I'm going to tell you tonight, God is not against you. God is for you, and he'll help you if you'll submit your way unto the Lord and receive the devil. The devil will have to flee from you. Amen. Amen. The Lord's on your side. Now look at there what he says in verse 7. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me, and that therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. In other words, I'm going to see my desire. That is, I'll see my victory. The things that I'm looking for will come to pass. And he talks about how the Lord ranks in terms of the kind of folks you want to have on your side in verses 8 and 9. He said it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Well, that's pretty good. Generically, human beings. I mean, human beings are failure. Isn't that right? But then he goes on to say something special in verse 9. He said it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And not only is it better to trust in God than common man, it's better to trust in God than even the elite. Even the princes and the kings and the presidents and the prime ministers. You'd just be better off to trust in God than to put your confidence in any of these fellas. I'm going to tell you, Washington can't fix your issues, can't fix your problems. Folks is looking to Capitol Hill and the White House to try to find the answer to their problems. And I'm going to tell you, it's Calvary's Hill and God's house. That's where you'll find answers. Hey, friend, you'll find trouble. You'll find trouble in the government. Listen to me when I tell you Ronald Reagan is right. This may not have been in the Bible, but it wouldn't hurt the Bible to put it in there. Some of the scariest words in the English language is, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. I'm telling you. Hey, we don't need the government helping in your life. If it'd leave you alone, you'd be a whole lot better off. Amen. Hey, friend, you need to learn to trust in Jesus. Learn to trust in God. Learn to trust in the Lord and his providential plan for your life. Hey, he knows how to take care of his children. He knows how to watch out for us. I'm thankful I've got a Savior that I can lean on. an enabling Savior. Help strengthen me for the battle. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. He even goes on to say, all the nations compassion about the name of the Lord. He said, I will destroy them. When my enemies is coming against me, they've got me surrounded. He's about like that fellow looked around. His partner said, my boss, we're surrounded. He said, son, we got them right where we want them. Amen. That's what the psalmist is saying here. When you're surrounded, you got them right where you want them. If Jesus is in the middle of the fight with you, amen. Well, what a blessing that is. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. It is like a swarm around him. But he said, they're quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. I'm glad you can have victory in Jesus, and I'm thankful tonight for an enabling Savior. He'll enable you for battle. And then in verse number 17, there's something real interesting here. I want to tell you, I'm thankful for everlasting life. Why give thanks? Look at verse 17. I shall not die, but live. Well, there's a sermon right there all by itself, isn't it? I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to kill and to steal and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Hey friend, you know you passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. Amen. He that hateth his brother abideth in death. But I'm glad Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He told Mary, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me, he shall never die. Oh, I praise his name for that. How long you gonna live, Christian? You'll live just as long as God lives. Amen. Our life is in Christ, hidden in Christ with God. That is, as surely as Jesus lives, here we're living not on our life. We're living on His life, and as surely as Jesus lives, we'll live in Him. He said, because I live, ye can live also. Amen. That's right. The world's concerned about looking younger all the time. I mean, if it isn't a hair dye, it's some sort of diet or makeup cream. And it's a pitiful, Brother Tom. We're living in a generation where men's wrapped up in that stuff. It's not just the ladies, it's a generation of vain men coloring their hairs and a mustache and the beard. Amen. Oh, God, help us. Trying to look younger. But the reality is, you're going to get older until you die. And then you're going to die as far as this world's concerned. But I'm so glad, hey, D.L. Moody said, if they come on and tell you that Dwight L. Moody's dead, don't you believe a word of it? I'll be more alive than I've ever been before. I want to tell you, thank God, we live because Jesus lives. Amen. One of these days I'll outstrip the bonds of this world, but I'm not gonna die. I'm just gonna leave. Amen. Woo! What a blessing that is. Everlasting life. Why give thanks? Enduring mercy, enlarging prayer, enabling Savior, and everlasting life. And then in verses 18 through 20, how we find that we ought to give thanks for efficient discipline. We ought to give thanks for efficient discipline. Notice what it said in verse 18. The Lord hath chastened me sore. The Lord's chastened me sore. Now you know what that means, don't you? Chasten. It means to get a whooping. It means to be disciplined, to be spanked. Amen. The Lord hath chastened me sore. He's whooped me till I'm sore, till it's hurting me. That's how long he's whooped me. Anybody ever get whooped till you's hurt? Our children do good now to get whooped till they want to do better, let alone to get whooped till they hurt. Our daddy used to tell us he was going to stomp us with his foot as long as he could find us. That's what he'd say. He'd grit his teeth together and he said, I'm going to hand it away. He didn't say stomp. He'd say stump. He'd say, I'm going to stump you with my foot as long as I can find you. And one boy, when he said that with his teeth gritted, and used to not raise his voice at all, just in sort of a low whisper, you knew bad business was about to go on. Amen. And he never threatened to spank us. He never even threatened to whip us. He would tell us he was about to whoop us. That's exactly right, boy. I'm going to stump you as long as I can find you. I'll whoop you, boy. I mean, I can't believe you've done that. But I'm going to tell you, Daddy didn't do that to kill us. He did that to direct us, to instruct us, to discipline us, to point us in the right direction. And notice the way the Lord dealt with whooping his youngins. It said down in verse number 18, the Lord chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Hey, friend, aren't you glad of that? We deserve to die. We deserve to. For the soul that sinneth, that shall surely die. The wages of sin is death. And he said, the Lord's whooped me. He's chasing me sore. But he didn't give me over to death. You know what that means? That means he wasn't trying to kill you. If he'd been trying, he'd have succeeded. Amen. What he's trying to do is to correct you and to point you in a different way. And look how good it worked. Down in verse number 19. Open up to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which righteousness shall enter. He said, you know what? After the Lord got done with me, I said, where's a good way? And show me the old path. Where is a good way? I'll walk therein. I started seeking after the right path. I started saying, Lord, if you'll open the gate, I'll run through it. Lord, if you'll show me the path, I'll walk in it. Lord, if you'll teach me how, I'll do it. The Lord began to officially discipline him and change him. Oh, I'm so glad tonight the Lord saved me. He didn't quit working on me. But he daily shows me what I need to do to live for it. And he points me in the way of truth and right. I'm thankful for the chastening hand of the Lord. And at the end I find the psalmist coming to a conclusion. Verses 21 through 29, he says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I got sense the Lord's pointing me in the right way. I tell you what I will do. I will do. There's some I wills in verses 21 through 29. First, he said in verse 21, I will praise. He said, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Well, tonight, I want to let it be known that I will praise him. Amen. And that's what we've come for tonight, to worship God, to praise him. I will praise him. In verses 22 through 23, he says, I will believe him. Hey, you see the stone which the builders refused become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. Others may reject him. Others may not have him. Others may not accept him, but he said he had become the head of the corner, and it's marvelous in our eyes. I'll praise him. I will believe him. Verse 24, he says, I will rejoice in him. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And verse 26, he said, I'll bless him. He says, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. It come time in your life when you ought to just bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless his holy name. Amen. I'll praise, I'll believe, I'll rejoice, I'll bless. In verses 27 and 28, he says, I will worship. God is the Lord which has showed us life. Bind the sacrifice with corns, even into the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, I'll praise. they see, thou art my God, I will exalt thee. These horns of the altar, that's where they'd offer offering and sacrifice. That's where they'd begin to worship. He said, I tell you, when I got to thinking about all this stuff in verses 1 through 26, it made me want to get down to the house of God and worship the Lord and praise the Lord and glorify the Lord. I will worship Him. And then he said in verse 29, the same thing he started out with, I will give thanks. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. I will praise. I will believe. I will rejoice. I will bless. I will worship. I will give thanks. How about you? Will you? Will you? Will you? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. Well, there's a lot of preaching to be done in that devotion. There's a lot of preaching to be done in that. Beautiful chapter from the Word of the Lord. Maybe somebody needs to testify this evening. You need to stand. I will give thanks. How about you? Will you? Maybe you need to testify. Would you stand and do business with the Lord? Testify the graciousness of God in your life.